Shall we start? All right, so last time, what did we finish? Is it working? Yeah. What did we study last time on Friday? What did we do? Anything you can recall? So we finished the ER modeling. Do you remember? We discussed about the specialization, generalization, and categories, and we discussed one case study related with EER modeling, and that's what you are going to do in assignment 2. So you already have your own data requirements, which you are going to convert to ER model. It may contain some of the constructs of EER also, like specialization, or maybe there is a category. So today we are going to start the next step that you are going to use in assignment 3. So basically, once you make the conceptual model, you need to convert it into relational model. And what is that relational model? What are the concepts? And how to convert the conceptual model into relational model? That we are going to study this week and next week. So basically, we are going to discuss these things today. So the relational model is based on the concept of relations or tables. We have already seen that, you have seen that in labs, right? When we are saying select star from employees, there is a relation, there is a table with the name employees. So the relational model come many decades ago, and most of the commonly used database management systems are based on this relational model. So for example, MySQL, in the back, the data is stored in the form of relational model. It is in the form of table, two-dimensional tables. So conceptually, it existed before. And it's many of the things are from the mathematics, like set theory. But that is the same model adopted by the commercially available relational database management system, like Oracle, like MySQL, and many more. So we have that theoretical model. This theoretical model we are going to study this week. And then we have a practical model, which most of the commercially available relational database management systems are following. And many of the theoretical data model concepts are adopted as it is in the practical model. But some of the things are not possible in practical model. So we will see the difference as we will discuss. So it was proposed, the theoretical model came into existence in 1970. Many, many decades ago. So what is a relation? It is a table of values, two-dimension table of values. A relation typically consists of set of rows. The data element in each row presents some fact that corresponds to real-world entity, like we have seen the employee table, which is basically the data inside that, or all the rows which are basically coming from the entity employees, which we are making in ER model. So whatever is here, and here we have different attributes. And if you see, when you say select star from employees, you see the same entity type with different entities inside that. So this is basically the entity type which you are representing in the form of table, right? And each of the entity belonging to that entity type employee, for example, employee XYZ or employee T1 or other employee, that we are filling here in the rows, right? And so on. So these are basically our rows, or we call them also in relational model tuple. This is our relation we also call table. And what are these? These are columns, or we also call them attribute. Right? And in each column, we can have only certain values, right? In the SSN column, can we enter character values? Usually, we have the numeric value. So, every column or every attribute has a domain. What is domain? So, for example, for SSN, the domain can be So the domain for SSN can be number, which is 11 digits long. So in every column or attribute has its domain, and the values which can come in any of these columns must belong or must come from the domain of that attribute. We cannot enter anything else. If we try to enter a row like this, then this row will not be our query will not be successful, because we are trying to enter a value in this row which doesn't represent the domain of this particular column. So every value in a particular column must come from the domain of that column. So this we have seen so far. So we have a relation, we have tuples or rows, we have attributes or columns. Every column should have the value coming from the domain of that particular column. You might not have seen the SQL statement for creating those tables, but when you create, at that time, when you specify, okay, this employee has these columns, you also specify at that time what is the domain of each column. So if you say that there is first name, last name, middle name, then with the first name, you need to specify what kind of values can be entered in that particular column. And each row has a value of data item or a set of items that uniquely identifies that row in the table. So usually it is the key. And where this key coming from? One or combination of one or more attributes should identify each row uniquely. So there should be some attribute or combination of attribute which gives unique value for every row. For example, in this case, in this particular relation, SSN is that column which is actually uniquely identifying every row. What do we mean by uniquely identifying? That no two values are same here. And if we know the value of this, we can retrieve the value of other attribute, because we know that two employees cannot have the same value. And if you see from the conceptual schema, when we convert it, and that's why we are identifying the key attribute here. Because that key attribute in the conceptual schema, when we convert it into relational schema, we have that as a key. Okay, so when we convert it, we need to have in every table some key. And that's why we had something here in the conceptual schema where there was no key. Do you remember? What was that? A weak entity which didn't have any key, but we still try to figure out the partial key, and when we convert it into the relational model, we again make up its key. We will see how we do it later on once we will finish the relational concepts. Sometimes we can auto-generate that value for example, social security number or any ID with the help of sequences in SQL, and at that time we call it artificial key or surrogate key. We already discussed what is a schema and what is an instance. So this is an instance with values inside, with data inside. And if we just talk about the name of the relation and the different attributes in this relation without any specific data, then that is a schema, right? And this is an instance which keep on changing because you keep on changing the data inside that. So every time something is changed, a new instance is created. We already talked about domain. Domain is set of valid values for a particular column or attribute, which we specify when we create this relations or table using the SQL statement in MySQL or whichever database management system we are using. We already saw tuple or rows, which is an ordered set of values. Each value is derived from the appropriate domain. So this is a tuple, set of ordered values, where each value comes from the domain of that particular attribute. A relation is a set of such rows or tuples. So when you will see later on in SQL, the domain is actually coming from when we specify what is the data type for a particular attribute, what kind of values can be entered, and what's the maximum length. And we can put some additional conditions also. Roles we know. I'm not going into all these mathematical definitions. You don't need to know these things. The basic thing which we know already is sufficient. These are all in the mathematics with the subset and all those notations. So basically, this is the thing we know so far. So table is a relation. Column header is an attribute. All possible column values for a particular column is the domain of that column. Row is also called tuple. Table definition, where there is no data, just the description of the table with the table name and the different attributes or column along with the domain of those columns is called schema. And when there is a data also populated inside that relation, it is called instance or state of a relation. We saw this in when we were discussing in the first week. Again, this is the same thing. Nothing new. The ordering of the tuple in a relation is not important. So you can have the employee number 3 as first or employee number 1 as last. It doesn't matter. The order of the tuples are not important. So this is another example with the different order that doesn't make, there is no problem in that. All values needs to be atomic. So every value, we have all the columns which can contain atomic values. If they are not atomic value, that means our design of the relational schema is not correct. And then we do something else to convert it into a format which is acceptable. And we are going to learn about that later on in normalization, if there is no atomic value. A special null value is used to represent value. Do you remember or have you seen the employees table? You all did select star from employees, right? Did you? During the lab? Did you attend the lab? Yeah, so you have all already seen what is the data inside the employees table. Do you want me to show you? Let me see. First, let's see how much time it will take to open. I hope it opens quickly. I'm not sure. Yeah, it opened. Can you see here values? Is it readable here? All of them are null values. What does it mean here? But for some of them, it is not null. Let's see. I'm sure for some of them, it is not null. Can you see here? For some of them, there is a value for this commission, and for the others, it is null. And let's see what type of employees they are. Can you see? It's a salesman. These are the salesmen who are getting the commission. If the employee is working on some other job, for example, if the person is clerk or manager or something else, see here, then they are not getting the commission. They are only getting the salary. So what does this null specifies? Null specifies that this column, in this case, it specifies that this column is not applicable for these tuples or for these rows or for these employees. And for other, there is a value, so there is no problem. So null means many things. So null means we can put the value null, which means that the particular column is not applicable for some of the rows. Or maybe the value doesn't exist for some of the rows for that particular column. Or maybe the value exists but we don't know the value. So null means three things. If we are entering null, that means either the value is not applicable, column is not applicable for that particular row, or value doesn't exist. For that particular tuple, or it exists but unknown. And null doesn't mean zero, null doesn't mean blank or space. Null means these things. So in many of the tables you will see that there is a null value stored. And how do we find out? For example, if we want to search the employees whose commission percentage is null, how will we do it? Do you remember the select statement? Do you remember anything from SQL? You have done select statement, right? How do we write select statement? Will you try? retrieve employees, the details of the employees who do not receive commission. How do we write it? Can anyone suggest? What comes next? We are selecting, so we are just retrieving the values. Which columns we are retrieving? All of them. That's why we have written star. And then, which table we are retrieving? From employees, right? And what can be our condition? Where? What was the name of the column? This was the name of the column, right? Do you remember? Where commission percentage, this column value, retrieve all the columns. But how do where help us? It takes the horizontal subset. So if this is the table and suppose this is the column and suppose here there is some value, here it is null and here it is again null. So how does it work? It is selecting all the columns, so all of the columns will be selected, but because there is a where, so it will only retrieve those rows where this condition will be true. And what is our condition? That the commission percent column value should be null. So it will check this row, it will check the value of this. Is it null? No, it's not null. So this will not be shown in the result. And then it will check the second row. This is null, the condition is null. So in that case, all these values will be returned to us on the screen. Do you want to see how it runs? See here, all the employees, you will not find any rows where commission percentage is not null. And if we want to retrieve all those employees who are actually getting the commission, how do we write it? We just add is not null. And in that case, all those employees will be returned who is getting commission percentage. See here, so it is either null or it is not null. You have seen where clause, didn't you, during the lab? Yes or no? Or I am asking you something which you haven't learned yet. You have seen, right? Yeah. How is SQL going? Huh? Okay, so everything is clear, what you have done so far. Do you want any changes in the lab? Or is it going well, the way of teaching? And anyway, I'm going to have a meeting with the reference group on Thursday, tomorrow. So anyway, I'll come to know of your feedback. If you need any changes, or if it is something is not clear, or do you want the lectures or the labs in some other way, please give the feedback to the member from your group, right? So we'll try to make the changes. Is it tough for you, SQL? Do you find it difficult? OK. Do you want SQL to be discussed here during the lecture also? We thought that during the lab you can go through them slowly because in the lecture we have so many topics to discuss. So I thought that even if I can discuss SQL here, I need to squeeze it into maximum 1 week, or if too much I will stretch, maybe 2 weeks, and it will be too fast. Okay, we will see in reference group whether this is working or not. Alright, so null means that particular column is not applicable for some of those rows or tuples, or the value doesn't exist, or it may exist but unknown to us. Okay, wherever there is a mathematical notation, just skip that when you are studying. Then with the relation, whenever there is a relation, there are some constraints or conditions which we put. So there are basically 4 type of constraint. They are called key constraint, entity integrity constraint, referential integrity constraint, and another constraint is which we just learned, that is the domain constraint. So there are basically 4 conditions which we put on most of the tables. Domain constraint is always there, key constraint is always there, entity integrity constraint is always there with every table. Only thing is that if there is a foreign key, there will be referential integrity. If there is no foreign key, there won't be referential integrity constraint. So there are 4 type of constraints. Let's see what does these constraints mean. See the last 2 lines here. It is about the domain constraints. It says that every value in a tuple must be from the domain of its attribute, or it could be null if allowed for that particular attribute. So what do we mean by if allowed for that particular attribute? Have you described any of these tables here? Do you know what does describe does? If we write describes, it basically gives us the structure of the table with all the constraints. So if we try to run this, I'm not very good with this. Where it has gone, my statement? Okay, let me type again. It's too small. Yeah, it's here. Can you see here? We have the structure of the table. Can you see this particular column? Null. And somewhere it's written no, somewhere it's written yes. That means that null is allowed for this particular column. And where it is written no, that means in employee ID you can never enter the value null. That means every employee should have value for employee ID, which is true also. We cannot have an employee ID as null. But see here, for some of them, phone number is, yes, you can have the null value. But email is necessary. You must enter some value which is from the domain of that particular. And the domain for the email column is its character, 25 characters long. Maximum 25 characters long. So can you see here? And can you see here, there? This is the primary key for this particular table, right? So here, when we create the table, we also specify in which column null is permissible and in which column null is not permissible. So actually, you are putting here a constraint with the help of this and this, which is a domain constraint, that employee ID column can only have integer values 11 digit long maximum, and you cannot enter a null. And this key we will talk about later when we will come to that constraint. So domain constraints specify, with the help of data type and length, what kind of values are permissible. In that case, whenever you are entering a new row and you are trying to enter a value which is not from the domain of that particular attribute, then it will give you a error, violation of domain constraint, and your SQL query will not be executed in that case. If you haven't learned those SQL statements yet, how to enter new rows inside a table. So far we are only learning how to retrieve different kind of data with different conditions, right? That's what we are focusing on. Let's first understand these constraints, and then let's first do the keys and then we will come to here. Just a moment. So before we start with the key constraint, we need to understand some of the concept. What do we mean by key? What is a foreign key? What is candidate key? What is super key, etc., etc.? So let me make an example and then we will discuss it. Let's suppose this is the data. Which are the columns that provides you the unique value? So see the definition of super key. It says it is a set of attributes which can uniquely identify the rows. No two tuples in any valid relational state will have the same value for super key. Or in simple words, super key is set of attributes that uniquely identifies every row. I'm just writing my own definition, much more simple. Thank you. So the super key says, definition says, set of any number of attribute that uniquely identify every row. What do we mean by uniquely identify? That means the combination of the value should be unique for every row. They should not be repeating for different rows. Now let's see for this example what can be the super key. Vehicle ID alone can make the super key, right? Because its value, this is the engine number or something. Every vehicle has a unique value for that. So if you see, every row will have a unique value. So that satisfies the definition of super key. Similarly, registration plate number is also uniquely identifying every row. Right? What about this? If we take the combination of vehicle ID and price, if we combine those two, actually if you combine the unique attribute with any of the attribute, it satisfies the definition of super key. Because one of the value is anyway unique. You combine with any other, it also satisfies the definition of super key. So if you see in this way, there can be many, many super keys in this case. So this is a super key. Similarly, this is a super key, and you can find many combinations. Plus price, plus type. This is also a super key. Or maybe vehicle ID plus registration. These two together can also make the super key. Because it doesn't say anything, super key definition doesn't say anything about the minimal set. It says set of attributes that uniquely identify. So whichever attribute is a unique attribute, kind of key attribute, if you make its combination with any of the existing attribute of the table, it still can be called as super key. So super key actually doesn't serve any purpose for our work. So we need to find those sets which are minimal set. For example, if you take out any attribute from it, then it will no longer be super key. So you need to find the minimum number of attributes which can uniquely identify the rows. And that is called candidate keys. Now in this case, which is the minimal set, minimum number of attributes which can uniquely identify the rows? Can you suggest? There are only two here. This is the minimal set, because this is not minimal set. You take out this and still the remaining part can uniquely identify. So this is not minimal set. Similarly, this is not minimal set, because you take out an attribute and still the remaining part can uniquely identify. So there are only two minimal set, and which actually satisfies the definition of candidate key, which is minimum set of attribute that uniquely identifies every row. So here we have two candidate keys actually. So we have two candidate keys, vehicle ID and registration plate number. From the SQL point of view, we need to choose any one of them as primary key. So in a table there can be only one primary key. So that's why we have to choose any one of them from this set of candidate keys as primary key. And suppose if we choose this as primary key, then this will be our alternate key. So basically, what does it mean? It says you have two candidates that qualifies for primary key, and you can choose any one of them as primary key. And usually in a table we have one primary key, so you can choose this as a primary key as well. So if you choose this as a primary key, then this will be your alternate key, which means there was a alternative to become a primary key, but you didn't choose it. So this is a alternate key, right? And this is all theoretical. We don't have an alternate key kind of thing in SQL. If there is more columns, you want to make them unique, then you use unique constraint. But there is nothing like alternate key there. This is from the theoretical perspective. So from SQL point of view, you just need to make a primary key. So theoretically, when you make the conceptual model, there is a possibility that there is more than one key attribute. And both of them are candidate keys when you convert it into relations. Now, you have to choose one of them as primary key and the other one will be alternate from theoretical perspective, because there is nothing like alternate key in MySQL. Okay? So, let's take another example and maybe you can figure out a little bit better. Let's take our employees relation again, although you already know many of the things. Or let's take department relations. Suppose this is the relation, and let's suppose for now that no two departments can have the same name. So all the department names are also unique. Now can you figure out the super keys here and the candidate keys? Please try. Of course, department number, all of them are unique. Two departments cannot have the same number. And let's suppose for now that department names are also unique. No two departments can have the same name. Now, can you figure out the super key? Do you want to have a break first? Let's have a break, then we will continue. Are you unwell? Not you, behind you. Yeah, are you unwell? You seem like not well. Shall we start? All right, so this is the example we were discussing before the break. This is a relation with this given data, and you need to identify the super keys. What is the definition of super key? Set of attributes that uniquely identify every row. That means the combination of value should be unique for everywhere. And it doesn't have to be totally unique. Even if one part is unique, it's fine. Because super key doesn't say anything about the minimal set. Okay, so can you identify in this case what can be the super keys? Yes. So we can have super key as department number. This can be super key. And in this case, we assume that no two departments can have the same name. So this can also be super key. And similarly, they together can be a super key. And there can be many, many combinations. You just combine these two unique attributes with any of that, any number of attribute, and it will still satisfy the definition of super key. So, and there can be many more combinations. So they all are super keys. Now we need to identify the candidate keys out of it. And what does candidate key says? It should be the minimum number of attributes in that set that can uniquely identify. So we have, what are the minimal set of attribute? This is not a minimal set because you take out location or you take out one of these also. And the remaining part can uniquely identify. So this is not a minimal set. Similarly, this is not a minimum set. This is also not a minimal set. And this is also not a minimum set. So we have department number, either this, or we have department name, this. These are two candidate keys. And then we can choose any one of them as primary key. How do we choose? Which one to choose? Most of the time it is subjective, but usually we try to choose that candidate key as primary key, which is most of the time numeric or smaller, whose values are not very big. So in this case, if we stuck to that condition, then this will be our primary key. But again, it is in many of the cases it can be subjective. And this will be our alternate key. And this is our primary key. Okay? So this is where we identify the keys. From SQL perspective, you are only required to find the one of the candidate key that you will make as primary key. And usually you already identify them when you are making the conceptual model. Because with every entity you have a key attribute. And if there is no key attribute, there is at least a partial key in case of weak entities. So you always have some options for creating the primary key. This example we just saw before. So license number is chosen as primary key, but there are two candidate key. License number is also a candidate key, and engine serial number can also be candidate key. So they both can uniquely identify. So there are two candidates to become primary key. You have two candidates, and you can choose any one of them as primary key. So this is the example we already see. Just a moment. So we were talking about actually the constraints. And we talked what are those constraints. These slides are not proper one after another from the book. So we talked about domain constraint. So basically, in a relational model, we have four constraints we saw before: domain constraint, key constraint, entity integrity constraint, and finally the referential integrity constraint. What does domain constraint say? That for every attribute, every value in a row, this is one row, every value in that row should be from the domain of that particular column. So a row is made up of many values, and every value should belong to the domain of that column. That is the domain constraint. And the key constraint was no two tuples can have same value for key attributes. So if this is your primary key and this is your alternate key, then any rows here for this attribute cannot have same values. So for example, we cannot have another row with the value 10 because 10 already exists. That will be the violation of key constraint. So we cannot have that. And entity integrity constraints say that key attribute values cannot be null. So if this is your key, then you cannot enter a new row with the value null here. This is not permitted. It will be the violation of entity integrity constraint. So we cannot do that, right? And the last one is referential integrity constraint. So see here in the book, the primary key attributes of each relational schema, whatever is written, cannot have null values in any tuple of the relation. So basically, key attribute cannot be null, in simple words. And then the last one is remaining, which is referential integrity constraint. So what does it mean? Let me take this example photo. So what does it mean, referential integrity? That's the last thing, which is about the primary key foreign key combination. So how we establish the relation between two tables. What will be the primary key in this table? We have seen many times. What can be the primary key? Employee ID. So this is our primary key. What is the primary key here? Yes, department number. So this is the primary key. Now we need to establish the relation between those two tables, because we saw the definition of database. What is it? It is the collection of related tables. So there are always the relations between the tables. And how do we establish the relations between different relations or tables? With the help of common column. Didn't we talk about that? So what is the common column here? Department number. The name may not be same, it doesn't matter. As long as it signifies the same thing, that is a common column. So how do we do it? We make with the help of foreign key. So referential integrity constraint is related with foreign key. So what is a foreign key? And what does it mean when we have a foreign key? So when we will be creating the employee table, these are the primary key we will specify. So we will say create table employees. These are the columns. And this will be number or integer. This will be character. This will be again number or integer. And we will specify the maximum length also for each of the column. And then we will specify the employee ID is our primary key. So all these things we specify when we create the tables. And at that time, we will also specify the relation between these two tables. And what it is, we will make this as foreign key, which references the primary key of this table. And there is a statement, you are going to learn how we establish the foreign key. And foreign key means we are always connecting the column or columns of one table to the columns of other table. And most of the time, it is the primary key foreign key combination. The foreign key referencing to column in another table is most of the time, all the cases almost, is primary key here. So this is primary key and here it is foreign key. Now what does it mean when we make a foreign key somewhere which is primary key somewhere? So this makes a relationship which is parent-child kind of relationship. Right? And as you can see, for every parent here, there are multiple children. So there, every value will come only once, because obviously that column is the primary key. So you cannot have 10 more than once. So every code will come only once. But for every department, there are many employees, which makes sense from conceptual modeling point of view also. Many employees working in same department, or a department has many employees working under it. Didn't we do that when we were doing the conceptual modeling? So this is a parent which has three children associated with it. Three child rows, right? Now, once this relationship is made, there are many conditions automatically established by the database management system. For example, if I try to delete this row with the department number 10 and all those details, it will give us a referential integrity constraint violation error. Why? Because we are trying to delete a parent for which children exist. So if we will delete this, what will happen to these? There is no department with department number 10 existing here if we delete this. And there are employees working for department number 10 which doesn't exist anymore. So we cannot delete that. If we will give the SQL command to delete this row from the parent for which the children exist, we will get an error and our SQL statement will not be executed. Okay? Or similarly, if we try to change the value of there is an option of cascade, but if we are not including that cascade, if we try to change this value to 30, again we will have the same, because for department number 10 there are children existing. Another thing is that if in the child table, if we try to enter a row like this with department number 30, does the department number 30 exist in the parent table? No. So we cannot enter this, because the department number 30 does not exist there, and we have established the foreign key primary key combination. So this row cannot be inserted. It will again give the same referential integrity constraint violation, because we are trying to enter a child for which the parent doesn't exist. So there is no department with department number 30, and we are saying this employee works for department number 30, which doesn't make sense, right? So we cannot enter here this new row. So the problem is, we can delete here, that's not a problem. We can delete a child for which the parent exists. So if we want to delete this, it's fine, it's not a problem. But we cannot delete a parent for which the child exists, right? So deletion is more problematic in the parent table. Deletion is not a problem in a child table. While inserting a new row, when we are inserting in the child table, the system has to check whether the parent exists. But if we are adding a row here for which no child exists, that is fine. We can enter a parent. There is no child for that. So when we are doing the insert statement in the parent doesn't make any problem, does not create any problem. But insert in the child needs to be checked whether there is a parent or not. Okay? So in case of deletion, it is checked for the parent table. In case of insertion, it is checked in case of child table. And when we are making the updation, it is actually checked in both the cases. For example, if we try to make the changes here and we try to change this value from 10 to 50, it will not be allowed, because there is no parent with department number 50. And similarly, when we are changing this to 30, it is again not allowed, because for this 10, there are some existing children. So we cannot change. But if there is no, for example here, there is no children here with department number 40 yet. So if there is no children, we can delete this and we can make the changes in the value also. Okay? So for in case of update, we need to check both. Right? So for insert, we need to check in the child. For delete, we need to check in the parent. For update, we need to be checking in both of them. And actually, we are not checking it. Whenever we try to insert, delete, or update, the database management system automatically checks once you establish this foreign key. Okay? So this is about the referential integrity, which is established with the help of foreign key. And whenever there is some manipulation of data, the database management system automatically checks whether you are violating the referential integrity constraint. If no, your SQL statement will be successfully executed. If yes, your SQL statement will be rejected and you cannot execute it until you make some changes. So whatever we are putting here, whenever we are entering a row in the child table, we can either enter any value that already exists in the parent table, or we can enter the value null according to this slide. What is written in this? So see this here, all these arrows are actually representing the foreign keys. So can you see here between employee and department? Department number of employee table, the last column there is actually a foreign key referencing the D number of department table. So there is a foreign key there in the employee table. There is another foreign key in the employee table, that is super SSN, which is actually manager's ID referencing the same table. This is basically coming from the recursive relation. If you remember from conceptual schema, we had a recursive relation. Do you remember we made something like that? That's why that foreign key is referencing the same relation. Can you locate any more foreign keys in any of the tables? So in employee we have two foreign keys. What about department table? Is there a foreign key? Yes or no? Just say loudly. It doesn't matter whether your answer is correct or wrong. No, there is no foreign key in the department table. What about department location? What is the primary key in department location table? There is an underline between under both the attributes. So basically the combination of both attributes makes the primary key. So there are not two primary keys. There is one primary key which is made up of two attribute or columns. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry. Why didn't you say that? That is also a sign of a teacher. Forgetting the things. Important forgetting things. Forgetting important things. Now I'm forgetting my sentence also. Okay. Now is it more readable? So we passed 20 minutes in that way. Actually, yeah, 20 minutes, more than 20 minutes. Please stop me whenever I am doing something like that. Or whenever I am saying something which doesn't make a sense, nonsense kind of thing. Just stop me, I'll try to explain in other words. When we keep on teaching the same course for many years, sometimes we assume many of the things that students already know, and that can sometimes be problematic. So whenever I'm saying something which you have no idea, just stop me, and then maybe I'll realize that I didn't give you the background, right? So see here, so department location doesn't have, there is a underline under both the columns. That doesn't mean that there are two primary key. There cannot be two primary key in one table. There is one primary key which is made up of two attributes. So that is called composite key. When the primary key is made up of more than one attribute, it is called composite key. Is there a foreign key in department location table? Think again, see again. This time you have a better view. Is there some arrow coming out of department location table? That means there is a foreign key. What is that foreign key? The D number is a foreign key referencing the D number of department table. So there is a foreign key. So primary key is made up of two attributes. And there is one of them is a foreign key referencing the department number of department table. Let's see the project table. What is the primary key? P number is the project primary key. What is the foreign key here? Yeah, department number is the foreign key referencing the primary key of department table. So look how many relations are there. And works on? What is the primary key in works on? This is all coming from our conceptual model. We will learn how to convert that company model which we saw before. Do you remember that, or should I show you again? We had employee, department, project, dependents, all those things. This all is actually the relational model for that ER model. So in works on, what's the primary key? Yeah? Somebody said something, but I didn't know who said. Can you? Yeah. Both the underlines. So there is one primary key which is made up of employee social security number and project number together. So it is again a composite key. And what are the primary keys? Foreign keys. What are the foreign? Is there a foreign key? Okay, which one? Employee social security number and P number, both are foreign keys. And how they are related? Employee social security number is a foreign key which is referencing the social security number of employee table. So there is a connection between works on with employee through that foreign key. And there is another connection. Project number is also a foreign key which is referencing the project number of project table. So basically works on table is related with two tables. One with project and one with employee. So there are two relations. And what does it mean? That ESSN, whatever value we are putting in ESSN, should be already present in the SSN column of employee table. Similarly, whatever value we will insert in the P number of works on table should already exist in P number of project table, because they both are foreign keys, right? And in the last, again, the primary key is a composite key made up of ESSN plus dependent name, and there is one foreign key which is employee SSN references the SSN of employee table. So there is one foreign key and one primary key. So in first table we have one primary key, two foreign keys at the last. In second table we just have a primary key, no foreign keys. It doesn't need, the design is like that. Yeah, there is. Yes, I missed it. There is a foreign key. Manager SSN references the SSN of employee table. Yes, I missed it. So there is a foreign key there as well. In department location, there is a primary key which is composite key, and there is one foreign key referencing the department table. In project, we have a primary key, project number, and we have one foreign key referencing the department number again from the department table. Works on, we have a composite primary key and we have two foreign keys going to employee table and project table. And dependent, again we have a composite primary key and we have one foreign key going to the SSN of employee table. Is that clear? So there are so many relationships here, and this will be actually in your assignment also. Once you will make the ER model and convert it into relational model, you will have something like this with 5-6 tables minimum and lots of relations. That's what we are looking for. This is the populated data. And if you will see minutely, it's so small, I cannot see properly. But if you will see in the works on, all the ESSN which are in this, because we established a foreign key, those values must exist in the employee table. Similarly, all the project number in the works on should already exist in the project table. So all that, if you see data wise, that must be true. We cannot enter any other. Child for which no parent exists. Now, this we talked little bit just now. Whenever we are doing the update operations on the relation, if we have the foreign key established, it is always checked. Whenever we are inserting, deleting, or modifying a tuple, any of these four constraints should not be violated. If any one of them is violated, our SQL statement will be rejected. Okay? So I am writing something here and you tell me which constraint is violated. If I try to enter this row, is there any violation of any of the constraint? Okay, so which constraint is violated? Yes, so which constraint is violated? Domain constraint is violated because we are entering a value which is not from the domain of this. Any other constraint violated here? Okay, let's suppose is it correct or wrong? Yeah, it is correct or incorrect? It is correct because although we have the foreign key and we are not giving any value that exists here, but null are acceptable. Okay. Huh? Yes, because it is not a key attribute. So this insert can result in constraint violation. First is entity integrity, because key value cannot be null. So this is wrong. Is there any other? Referential integrity violation also, because we are giving a value here which doesn't exist in the parent table. So there is basically two constraint violation here. If I am entering this, is there any violation? No, there is no violation because we can have a parent even though there is no child. Okay? And it follows the domain constraint also. We are giving the correct values. We are not giving any null here, so it is not the violation of entity integrity constraint. there is no referential integrity constraint also. The last line. Key constraint violation. No two values can be same. Right? So every row should have a unique value. Okay. If I try to update this. With I try to change the value in the parent table from department number 10 to department number 60. We can, because this is the violation of referential integrity constraint, because there are children existing. If I try to change this to 30, is there a problem? Will there be a problem? No, there won't be a problem because there is no children here for department number 40. So we can change it to something else. And even if I try to delete this, will it be acceptable? It will be acceptable because there is no children here. Right? So this will not work, but this can work, so we can change it into 30. If I try to change this value from 10 to 30, is it possible? Is it acceptable? It is acceptable because we are changing to some value that already exists, so it's not a problem. If I change this to, it's not acceptable because the parent doesn't exist. So again, the violation of referential integrity constraint. So we can change this, but we cannot change this. Okay. If I try to delete this, it is possible to do it. There is no violation. Because we can delete the child, even though there is a parent. Okay. So now I think I have given you example of all of them. So whenever we are inserting, deleting or updating a tuple, the database management system automatically checks for the violation of any of these. We don't need to do it. Once we specified the data type and the length and any other condition, the domain constraint is fixed with that table. So it is automatically checked whenever we are writing a query to make any changes in the table. Similarly, key constraint, once we establish a primary key, the key constraint and entity or integrity constraint is automatically checked by the database because both of them are related with the primary key basically. That primary key value should not be null, primary key value cannot be duplicated. Every value should be unique. And once we establish the foreign key, then automatically the referential integrity constraint is checked by the database management system. Okay. So we are not, most of the time until we are using a cascade option, which we are not discussing in the course, if our query is violating any of this, the DBMS will reject our query and we will get a message whichever constraint was violated. So these are the constraints which I just wrote. So in case of insert, any of these constraints can be violated. You can see, we have seen the example, you can read it in your own time. In case of delete, only the referential integrity constraint is violated, because when we are deleting from the parent, we may be deleting a parent for which the children exist. In case of update, it can violate the domain constraint, it can violate the referential integrity constraint, or there is a chance that suppose you are trying to update this value to 4. Again, it is the violation of key constraint, because you are trying to make a value that already exists. Okay? So update can also result in these violations. So this was the end of this chapter, but we need to do some exercises. Do we have time? We have few minutes. Can you see, try to understand these tables? And you need to specify the foreign keys. So we have students, we have courses, we have enrollment, which student is enrolled in which course. We have book adoption, so we have a textbook where all the textbook used in different courses are specified, and then we have a book adoption, which course has which books specified, or which book is adopted for which course. Primary keys are already given here, but you need to find the foreign keys. Can you work on a paper? And then in the end, we can discuss it. If it is easier for you, you can fill some imaginary data also. If it makes your job easy to understand why there are sometimes key consisting of 3 attributes or 2 attributes, why one course alone cannot make the key, you can fill some imaginary data. I am not filling today because we have so less time. If I'll do all of this and fill everything, we won't be able to finish the question, it seems today. You can note down, or if you want, this slides is already uploaded on Blackboard. So you can work till Friday, and then we can discuss this, the solution of this, on Friday. That's all for today. You can note down, and whenever it is convenient, you may leave.